Our next session is going to be a panel discussion. The first speaker of the panel is here, so we're going to start. And I'm hoping the other two, I think they're davening at the quarter to two minyan for mincha. We're going to have a minyan in the 3 o'clock, Mitzvah Shem, for mincha right here. This panel is about the setting up of Vada Kashra. Since all of you will not probably get jobs at the OU, you may decide to get into your own kashrus, or maybe a rav in a small city, and you want to establish a Vada Kashra. So we have three experts. All three are rabbonim. They have kehillas. And also they're involved in local Vada Kashra. And they're going to speak about, for a few minutes, a certain aspect of setting up a local Vada Kashra, and then we'll take questions to the panel at the end of their discussion. Our first speaker is Harav Yaakov Luban Shlita, who's the Rav of Congregation Or Torah in Edison, New Jersey. And he is one of the members, besides being the executive rabbinic coordinator here at the OU, he's also a member of the local VOD of Raritan Valley, and he's going to discuss how a VOD sets its standards. Rabbi Luban.
When I just walked in and I see the Eilim sitting here, it's a very impressive sight to have such a gathering of Bnei Torah. And as always, Rabbi Grossman has done another phenomenal job with the Ask OU program. This week's parsha is very appropriate for this topic of discussion. One of the mitzvahs in parshas Re'eh is lo siskodedu, and the Gemara says that lo siskodedu, besides the plain meaning not to cut yourself, mutilate the body, lo siskodedu also means that you should not have in the same city different batei dinim, should not make agudas agudas. And the Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah in Perek Yud Beis, right? So l'chalas har zeh shelo yihu shnei batei dinim b'ir achas, zeh noeg k'minig zeh v'zeh noeg k'minig acher. Why? Shedavar zeh garem l'machlokos gedolos. Shenemer los eskodot los asel agudos agudos. It's Perek Yud Beis halachi yadalot. When you have in the same city two batei dinim with different religious convictions and different standards, it leads to machlokos gedolos, and that, in fact, is the reality of the what happens in the world. Is if you have a city where you have different rabbanim and each rav has his own standards, it always leads to machlokos gedolos, because I don't trust him, he didn't trust me, I can't eat in your house, you can't eat in my house, I don't hold to this rav, I don't hold to that rav, the rabbanim are fighting, and it brings chil Hashem and disgrace on the rabbanim. And when rabbanim are able to work together in harmony in a city, that creates a kiddush Hashem. So when you have different rabbanim in a city, as is often the case, it's a mitzvah aseh that you shouldn't have two batei dinim with different standards of kashrus. I don't know if it's exactly what to say, but it's certainly within the theme of the mitzvah that you should try to resolve kashrus differences so that you have one standard. Now, although that is of great value, but the question is, how do you go about doing that? How do you create one standard? Because if you have a range of rabbanim, and some of the rabbanim have different hashkafas and different viewpoints, and some people are machmirim by nature, some people are mekilim, and the people subscribe to different poskim. So how are you going to create one uniform standard of kashrus? So I have a suggestion to make how you go about doing that, and that is that two things. Number one, you have to try to agree to follow the highest common standard, because it's difficult to expect of a person that has a higher standard that he should lower his standard. So that's one suggestion. But that does not always work, because sometimes people have a standard that is not an absolute halachic standard. They have certain chumras and certain preferences. So that does not always work. My primary recommendation is to select either an outside vod or an outside poisek that everybody could agree on, that they will use that as the arbitrator of the standards for the Vat, because that way it depersonalizes it. You don't get into this tug of war with your chaverim and your colleagues. And as long as it's somebody that you could all agree to hold of, so let that person make the decisions. There's very often in Avad HaKashrus, there's shayos that come up where in the abstract, maybe you would want to have a certain standard, but you have to pass in the shayla in the context of the city. Sometimes, let's say, for example, the city has no kosher bakery, and the bakery, let's say it's Jewish owned, and they want to be open on Shabbos. So that depends where that shayla is. If you're in the Borough Park, it's one shayla. If you're out in the middle of no place, and that's the only Jewish bakery, the only bakery available, it's a different shayla. I'm not saying what you should do, but I'm just saying that the shayla has to be decided always in the context of the situation, and it's important to be able to talk it over with an Adam Gadol or an Adam Choshev or at least a Posek, who is able to consider the various factors that go into the shayla. And sometimes you have Rabbanim who are very intransigent, and they want to go with a certain standard, but they don't always recognize that you have to look at the context of the issue. So by having an outside posek that you go to, you can present it. It should be a person who's not only a posek, but somebody who is an adam chashuv, who's a bar seichel, so that you could present to this person the various aspects of the shayla, and in that way, hopefully, you could resolve differences. It could be that in conjunction with a rub, you would also want to hook up with a Vada Kashrus or with a Kashrus organization. At the OU, we have sometimes provided this type. Not in a formal way, but we oftentimes get calls from different vadim. They want to know, what's the OU standard? What's the OU policy? How does the OU handle this type of situation? And I think it's important to have a combination of both things, of a posek and a vada, and a either a vada or a kashrus organization, because the a kashrus organization has the practical knowledge and expertise, and the posek has the halachic expertise. So if you have that type of combination of the two, then I think that it would be very helpful to work out differences of opinion that may exist between various rabbanim. Just to give you a few examples, I'm supposed to speak another 2 or 3 minutes. To give you a few examples of issues that might come up where there are differences of opinion. One of the big issues is Bedikas Tolayim, and Rabbi Eisen, who's going to speak in a minute, has done a lot of terrific work in this area, pioneering work. Bedikas Tolayim, you have a million different shitas. Every Rav has a different shita about Bedikas Tolayim. Every conscious agency has a different shita. One of the reasons for that is because the metzias is not it's difficult to define. There's how matzli is a certain vegetable to have talayim. Things change by the time of the year and by the climate and where you buy it and the quality. And unfortunately, we haven't had real intensive statistical studies about these things, and also in terms of what's effective to remove the talayim, what systems work. Again, we don't have all the data that we would like to have. So, and then there's halachic issues that come into play. What's called mi'ida matsui, what's not called mi'ida matsui? Does it help to check three heads? It doesn't help. There's a lot of different shaylos. How big a sampling do you take in order to decide whether it's a mi'ida matsui? There's a lot of different issues, and different rabbanim and different kashrus agencies have different policies. I would just share with you that in my community in Edison, we basically did away with the whole matter of Bedikas Tolayim, in the sense that we decided we're not letting mashgichim check vegetables anymore. We adopted this policy about 10 years ago. Until that time, we tried training mashgichim, and it was the worst nightmare, because we had in a small community, maybe the OU could hire some of the best people in the world to do Bedikas Tolayim. But in a small community, it's very hard to get quality people, and it's, you know, it's very tedious and difficult to train somebody. You need somebody who themselves is an expert to go ahead and train. We once had Rabbi Eisen come down and try to train the people, and there's a lot of turnover. So we just made a policy that we're only allowing the stores to use vegetables that have a prepackaged with a reliable hashgacha. If you can get away with that, that's a much better way to go. Another big issue is whether you need, do you need to have a mashgiach tmidi? If you have a, especially if you have a religious owner of the establishment, is it necessary to have a mashgiach tmidi, let's say in a restaurant, if it's a meat restaurant, you have to have a mashgiach tmidi. In our own vod, we require a mashgiach tmidi. And the reason why we adopted that policy is because it's most of the proprietors in the establishments over the years have been people who live in the community. And it's very difficult for Rabbanim to say, well, this Baal Bas is okay because he's a Ben Taira, and this Baal Bas, we wouldn't trust him even though he's Shemir Mitzvahs, but we have no confidence in him. How could you make such chulukim? It's the same reason why Rabbanim don't eat in people's houses, because either you eat by everybody or you eat by nobody. So we therefore adopted a position of low plug that any meat establishment requires a mashgiach tmidi. Another big issue is what constitutes yotzei. I think questions will be at the end, right?
There we go.
At the end. Well, what constitutes yotzei v'nichnas? How often is yotzei v'nichnas? Do you have to go in once a week, once every other week, daily? How often? I mean, in our own vod, we go in. We have a mashgiach that we hired who visits all the stores on a daily basis, which works for us. It works very well because whenever there's deliveries, there's always issues that come up. But not always is it feasible economically or for other reasons to have somebody to do that. So that's something that a vod has to work through. Then there's an issue of working mashgiach. Does the mashgiach have to be devoted to his hashgacha, or could he work in the establishment? Most kashrus agencies allow, the OU included, they allow working mashgichim. What's important though is that the mashgiach should be somebody. We're almost done, Rabbi Gosper. It should be somebody who has a position of stature. He shouldn't be the fellow that sweeps the floor, because then he has no authority. One other issue that's just common is who gets the money, who gets paid for the kashrus work. In our own vod, we established a policy that the rabbanim don't get paid anything, because that allows us to have independence. And this week's parsha is about Sheichet. Once you receive the money, it's very difficult to remain completely objective. Just one final issue is which hashgachos you're going to accept, and that's something where being connected to a kashrus agency is very helpful, because generally speaking, people don't have the expertise to know which kashrus agencies are reliable and which are not. I know in some yeshivas they have a policy that they only allow products in with hashgachos where the name of the rub is written in the Hebrew Isis. I don't recommend that as a method of determining whether hashgacha is reliable. Oh, if you hook up with a kashrus agency, that's my recommendation is the way to go, because that way the kashrus agency usually has an expertise that's developed over the years because of their interaction with the different agencies. Okay, turn the floor over to Rabbi Gross.
Our next speaker is Rabbi Yoel Schoenfeld, who is assistant rabbi of the Young Israel of Kew Gardens Hills, where his father, Rav Fabian Schoenfeld Shlita, is the senior rav, and Rabbi Yoel Schoenfeld has been the past president of the Vada Rabbanim of Queens, which part of the our interns visited with that Vada Kashrus. Part of the VOD is a Vada Kashrus, and he's an active member now of the VOD. So we ask him to speak to us about the importance that a VOD plays in a unifying force in a Kehillah.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Grossman. I was sitting here with Rabbi Eisen, my good friend, and he said to me, do you know what you're going to be speaking about? And I told him, I'm listening carefully to Rabbi Luban, because whatever he says, I'm going to leave out. It doesn't leave me too much to speak about. But what I do want to focus on is, as the name of the topic implies, is the importance of having an organized VOD. Now, I'm here, as was indicated by the introduction, representing the Queens Vada Rabbanim, not my activities in the OU. And the Queens Vada Rabbanim is a very unique type of arrangement that I wish were actually not unique and more prevalent throughout the United States. Although it's not totally unique, but it should be more common than it is. Now, the Vada Rabbanim of Queens is a group of Rabbanim and who are there for the common cause of addressing many of the local community's issues. Included is Kashrus, but not limited to Kashrus. Gittin, Batei Din, Erevin, counseling, community programming is all part of the scope of the Vada Rabbanim of Queens. Now, the importance of having a VOD is that it lends itself immediately to a sense of unity, of an achdus amongst the Rabbanim. Once you have achdus amongst the Rabbanim, you have achdus in the rest of the Kehillah. And, you know, they say, Talmid Chacham Amarim Shalom Ba'olam, because they're always having machlokes with each other, so you have to keep them making shalom again. And unfortunately, it's too often that is the case. But we have a cohesive group of Rabbanim, and we are a disparate group in Queens. We have Musmachim from Lakewood, Musmachim from Chafetz Chaim, Musmachim from Yeshiva University, all different types of Rabbanim. To be honest, the Hasidic type of Shtiblach, those Rabbanim are not a member of our Vad, but they have a very healthy respect for our Vad. They're just not geared for that, but they have a very healthy respect for the Rada Rabbanim, and they do have the Vad's Hechsherim are very much a part or are accepted in their own shuls. Now, many people, when I did serve as president of the Vad, and Balabatim, my own shul, would ask me, you know, how much did they pay you? And it was just, they couldn't believe, you know, we spend an enormous amount of time, the Rabbanim do, on Vod issues and Vod matters, but we don't get a dime. And I told this fellow, every time I make a phone call, it's a dime out of my pocket. And that's the way our Vod is structured, as most of the better Vods in the United States are structured, that the Rabbanim get nothing in terms of pay. Of course, you have a staff of Mashgichim, you have an executive director, those people are employed. But the Rabbanim that are involved get nothing. Now, except for the satisfaction of knowing that you're helping build this cohesive group. Now, you yourselves will know, without mentioning the Kehillahs, but you yourselves will know that as you span some of the Kehillahs, even in the New York area, some very fine, from Charedisha, Yeshivisha communities in the five boroughs and beyond, those that don't have an organized Vad HaRabbanim, you know that you don't know from one restaurant to the next restaurant whether you can eat there. This fellow is very good. And what happens very often in private hashgachas is that a fellow is good and he's erlich and he's l'shem shemayim and he means everything for the best purposes. What happens? He succeeds. Gets another restaurant, gets another catering hall, and gets another one and another one because he develops a good name, so he grows and he multiplies. He's just one person. So he spreads himself very thin beyond his means, beyond his capacity, beyond his ability to be able to hold those hashgachas. And all of a sudden you hear about this fellow. You can't eat by him, you can't eat by Yenna, you can't eat by him. He was very good in the beginning. But then because of his good reputation was exactly his undoing. And that happens, and that's the result that happens when you have private hashgachas. That they're I'm not here to denigrate the individual private hashgachas, but that is the pitfall of a private hashgacha. That if it's good, it's going to grow. If it's going to grow, now it's already beyond its own capacity to be able to deal with each place erlach. And so when you have a vad harabbanim, and they have a standards committee, which Rabbi Luban was referring to before, then you know that you walk into this town. Now, if you don't like the vad, fine, you can reject the Vat. We don't trust the Vat Rabbanim. We don't eat the Vat Rabbanim. But at least you know what you're dealing with. You don't like their standards, but you know that there's a reason why you're not eating there. But when you come into other kehillas, which is a Shayar Shabbain of Yasa, you don't know, you have no intelligent way of making a decision whether I eat in this establishment or don't. And that's why it's so important to be able to have a cohesive Vad HaRabbanim. Our shul, Young Israel Kew Gardens Hill, has a policy that we will only accept in our catering facility other Vadim. In other words, we're not limited. We don't limit it, our caterers, just to be under the Vat HaKohens, but it must be a community-based hashgacha. No private hashgachas are allowed. And even some Grois Rebbe, some great Rosh Yeshiva, or some big organization, just because they're big and they're popularly known does not mean that they're a kehillah-based organization. It just means they're big. But even...
OU is not accepted.
The OU is a kehillah-based organization. It's non-profit. Ask anyone else, us on staff, you'll know right away. It's non-profit. The OU is exactly that. It's the national, I'm glad you brought that up, it's a national kehillah-based organization. It's exactly what it is. One of its missions is kashrus. However, if you have under Yenarov or Yenarov, and we will not accept that into our shul. The one time that we, in my years that I'm there, and I'm in our Young Israel, I was born and raised there, but in my official capacity as assistant rabbi, the one time I made it for the past 15 years, one time my father was in Switzerland, I have a brother there for a simcha, and some big heavy hitter in town made an ofruf. And Erev Shabbos, I find out that she's bringing in a caterer that was under a private hashgacha, the well-known Rav, maybe many of you have heard of him. Personally, I would eat his hashgacha. At home, I would take his, I would assume his hashgacha. But we had a policy, no private hashgachas. My father's in Switzerland, and I told him, listen, we didn't realize that this lady's going to do that. And she brings in this hashgacha under this particular Rav, and it was but less Breira, we decided we're going to make the exception to the rule. What are you going to do? Tell her not to have a Rufruf? So the Rufruf goes on, and the whole shul's invited to the Kiddush. We come down to the Kiddush. So Kaidim Kol, the Mashgiach, there was a Mashgiach, Chassidish Yungaman, he was upstairs the entire time saying Tehillim. While everything's going on downstairs, he's upstairs saying Tehillim. But worse than that, he had there was a fountain, a water fountain, that spritzes water all over the place, and like you're in Greece or someplace. And they plugged it in. They had a guy plug it in on Shabbos, and it was spritzing water in the middle of the catering hall that we have downstairs. The Balabatan Doni comes, and they said, what business is this? Who plugs in a water fountain? You have to have spritzing water in the middle of an ufruf on Shabbos. And it causes enormous agmas nefesh, because they said you made an exception because she's rich, you made an exception because of Bala, you made an exception because the man has a big name. The fact is, the one time that we made an exception to the rule, it did come to bite us. And otherwise we stick very, very carefully to the rule, because a respected Vod would never allow such a thing. It just would not allow. It just wouldn't happen. You wouldn't have this concept of plugging in a water fountain to spritz and to entertain the whole other. So I'm going to leave you with that one message, that it is so important to develop this concept of having an organized kehillah of Rabbanim, and part of their mission should be kashrus, so you know you're having people have no negiyas. They're not walking away with anything in their pocket, the Rabbanim Achshirim, because other Vadim were set up in such a way, even Rabbanim Shavadim, they were set up where each Rav is a Rav HaMachshir that's on the payroll of the place that he's responsible for, that he's assigned for a certain district, and the Rav HaMachshir is assigned, but he was on the payroll. And that was a terrible Avla. Ultimately, there was an uprising against that, and that's now history. But the way an ideal Vad HaRabbanim is that the Rabbanim are not paid anything, but they have a responsibility to the community. And believe me when I tell you, and I can tell you this much about Kew Gardens Hills, if anybody is thinking of moving there, it's a nice place. We do have a sense of Achdus, and we have Bukharins, we have Bukharan community is a bit of a problem. It's not, here's not the place to get to, because they really haven't gotten used to this concept. But we have Bukharans, we have Hasidisha, we have Young Israel, we have yeshivas, we have Chafetz Chaim and Lander Yeshiva Arachayim, we have colleges, and we have all Shtiblach Yidden and Young Israel Yidden and our Gudashul. We all really, literally eat out of the same chillen pot, and Mamela, there's a sense of Achdus in the entire community. Comes to, some people don't carry an Erev because they're Machmor an Erev and they don't carry an Erev. Otherwise, the Erev is universally respected in the community. And so I will, I caught you, Rabbi Grossman, I will close at this moment and just leave you with that message. The importance of here you really can see in action Talmid Chachamim Marvim Shalom Olam the way the Chazal meant it to be.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Yoel. I forgot to mention that Rabbi Schoenfeld is a rabbinic coordinator here at the OU, and he's also a group leader. And our next speaker, although he's no longer with the OU, but started his illustrious kashrus career at the OU. He made many tikkunim in restaurants, in Bedikas Toloim, and we're going to have a special session at 4 o'clock where he's going to show us on vegetables. Hopefully all the technology will work, that we'll be able to, it's going to be videoed, and hopefully it'll be a very special session to see on each particular vegetable and fruit how to do Bedika on it. And of course, I'm speaking about Rabbi Yosef Eisen, who is the Rav of Kol Bnei Torah in Flatbush, and he's also the executive rabbinic administrator of the Vod of the Five Towns, and he will be discussing how the office of a kashrus Vod has a proper liaison connection with the most important person, and that is the Mashgiach, who's on the front line, Rabbi Yosef Eisen Shlita.
First of all, Paislim Bechvoid Achsani, I wanted to give Rabbi Grossman a personal, heartfelt Yashar Koyach. He puts in literally the results of his efforts, which is seen over here in Shves Shem will be, I think, felt and experienced by each and every one of you. It's just not something which is done over a month's time. Literally, he toils. Really, kulei l'shem shemayim over months, while the winter months are coming and we don't dream of summer. He's working on this very successful program.
The clock is running.
The clock is running. Well. My tafkid of this at this session is to talk about a issue which I think is more relevant to each and every one of you, perhaps more than the other two extremely important yesoidis that were mentioned both by Rabbis Luban and Rabbi Schoenfeld. Whereas the importance of a community and the standards of the community, the Rabbonim, are vital and crucial to the maila of a hashgacha, but nevertheless what you see is not necessary, unless you're one of the Rabbanim yourselves, but what you as an individual going into a restaurant or going into a catering hall, a chasana, and happening to meet the Mashgiach, that is what you are exposed to perhaps more than any other facet of a vad, of a local vad. And truth be said, the hardest thing to accomplish, especially out of the New York area, is to find mashkichim that will represent what you want out of your hashkacha. But even before we get to the differences that exist between in-town and out-of-town, I think there's some very fundamental points that we need to talk about. Number one, how do you go about choosing a mashkiach? And I think that this will help us in understanding, any of you that might ever want to pursue that avenue, I think it will just help you in being able to project yourselves when you do, if you do, happen to be sitting with somebody that's interviewing you. The first most important point is that a mashgiach must feel that he has somebody in the office that is supporting him. When you feel that you're alone out there battling about a bala bus and battling against kitchen staff, and there's nobody who just throws you into the kitchen and says, here, work. That is a feeling that you just sense that you're overwhelmed, you're defeated, there's nobody to talk to. So the first thing you have to know in being able to assess a hashgacha is only as strong as its mashgichim. A war is won not only by the generals that are planning in their offices, but the wars are actually won and the casualties are felt by the ones that are in the front lines. Mashgichim are in the front lines. And a hashgacha that realizes that will be successful, and a hashgacha that doesn't take this to heart and understand that this is literally the heart of a hashgacha, then the hashgacha is doomed to failure sometimes and certainly to be limited. It's important that a vad, when we speak about a local vad, they know that who the mashgichim are. There are many times their vadim that hire individuals that have no clue who's working for them. And there can't be a worse type of a setup. Because if a mashgich doesn't realize that the person that's in charge doesn't know who he is, so first of all, he doesn't feel connected at all to the person. And secondly, he feels quite as an independent operator. If you feel that there's a certain connection between you and an office, then your whole way that you present yourself is different. There's a pas besalai type of a theory that a mashgiach feels, that he feels that here there's somebody that's going to support him. And besides that, a balabas also has to know that a mashgiach is as important to the vad as the administrators themselves. If balabatim, who feel that it's a sacrifice, having a hashgach, and certainly this means whether it's mashgiach tamidi, or whether it's a mashgiach in a catering establishment that might not be tamidi, but he might be there for the one particular event. If a balabas doesn't realize that the vad is noikim v'noiter kinachosh on the unfair treatment of a mashgiach, then that mashgiach has his hands tied. A vad has to make it clear. There has to be a tangible sense that's felt by balabatim, don't mess with the mashgichim. There has to be, I couldn't say it any plainer. There has to be a sense that the vad, that the rabbonim are going to be involved with the support of the mashgiach. And if while I'm on that topic of a support for mashgiach, I want to mention something extremely important. We all are working, not only those of us that are zoich and avodas hakodesh, to work, to be marba kovet shemayim. We also have to come to the reality that we have to make a parnas as well. And what happens many times is that, unfortunately, in the world of local hashgachas, and even national hashgachas, mashgichim are not paid by the vadim. They are paid by the balabatim. In most cases, most probably more than 90% of the instances, that lends itself to potentially a disastrous imbalance.
In restaurants
and in catering also. That many times they are paid by the balabatim. It's unusual, even though it does exist in this office, it does exist in a limited capacity, that the monies get channeled through the office. That is certainly the best way the mashgiach could feel, that no one is in charge of him, and certainly not the balabas. But the first thing that happens is that the balabas plays with the money. I had a maisa mamish today. I'm on my way to Manhattan. I made a trip especially into the five towns because there was a mashgiach that said that he senses that the balabatim was supposed to pay him on Thursday. They didn't pay him on Thursday. He was supposed to pay him yesterday. They only gave him partial money. So I made sure to put him at ease and said, I'm coming specially into the five towns, not als Yoredeya, als Choshe Mishpat. I'm coming in to convey a message to the balabas that your money is Kodesh Kadoshim. When there is such a hashkafa, that is felt, and especially with the money issue, because that's what Balabatim understand very well. They understand money better than any other facet of their business. And that's they shouldn't. That's the way it should be. It shouldn't be any different, because that's they're in business to make money, not to lose money. If they don't understand that the money of the Mashgiach is as important to the Vad, to the Rabbonim, as the Kashrus, because L'chayra, there are no Chilukim in the Dal Chelkei Shulchan Aruch that Yaradei has any precedence before Chayshim Mishpat. When there's such Ashkafa that's felt, then that empowers the Mashgiach, it empowers the Vad, it makes the relationship very strong, because the relationship now becomes very clearly defined. A Mashgiach is there to do his job, and in no shape or form is the Balabas allowed to even put in a etzba katana to sabotage, and even not so dramatically, even to stop the Mashgiach from doing his job. That must be felt not only from the Yoredeya end of it, or whether it's Hilchus Shabbos from the Arachayim end of it, it also has to be sensed from the Chayshim Mishpat. Because that will make the relationship with the... There's nothing that will give the Mashgichim a sense, a feeling that the Rabbonim are supporting them more than when you fend for their dollars. And that makes a better Mashgiach, that makes a better Vad, that makes a stronger relationship. But on the other hand, and we'll conclude with these remarks, the Rabbonim in Avada Kashrus really have to have a license in therapy. They're therapists, they're counselors, because much of the time there is such sichsuch that takes place between Mashgichim and Balabatim. The worst message that you could give a Balabas, as much as we said the absolute importance of Mashgiach, feeling that there is somebody that has a Yad Yodoy El Yoyna that's going to fight for him. On the other hand, the Balabas has to know that it's not about protecting your Mashgichim. It's not a personal issue. It's something which you're there to do the Dover HaYoshar, the Dover HaEmes. And if it means making sure that the Mashgiach gets a message b'derech kovid, and the way that haychacha and whatever type of direction must be given, should be given b'tznius, privately, for a balabas to know that hashgacha is fear-minded, that is in a very vital nekuda. For them to know when the Mashgiach is wrong, I got a call the other day, I was in the middle of going to a chasana, and I thought that the Balabas called up and he said, I'm going to kill this Mashgiach, literally. What did he do? He came in, and there was a bunch of rented items that were delivered to the catering event. And the Mashgiach went through all the kelim, and he noticed that there were three or four, or maybe a half a dozen kelim, small flatware, that didn't match the set. He was in a treifa place, and certainly it's likely he didn't know the pattern of the treifa place. They had several kitchens. He didn't know what, you know, whether this was treif, whether the waiters pulled it from another kitchen. So he took this silverware and he threw it away. He threw it in the garbage. Most probably the cost of each of these pieces of flatware most probably was less than 50 cents, but that's not the idea. The Balabas went cuckoo. He went crazy. And I must tell you, I told the Mashgiach, I said, I can't, you know, I'm going to try to weasel out of this one, you know, just to, you know, that just the moment is a chaotic moment, but I can't, you know, protect you. I can't justify what you did, because what you did was silly. And sometimes, b'derech chachma, the Balabas has to hear that. The Balabas has to hear that Ashgacha, it's not about you winning. It's about doing the Divrei Elikim, which is done al pi emes v'yosher. I think that these are the nekuda that I'd just like to just conclude and leave you with, is that the strength of a Hashgacha many times will be reflected by the Mashgiach. And this is a wonderful gauge. And I'll finish with these words. that if Hashgach is able to be proud of the person that's representing them in a certain place, then you know you have a good Mashgiach. If there's something wrong that you sort of like want to put the Mashgiach in a closet somewhere and not really present him, because you just feel it's this is not the person that reflects who you are, then you have the wrong person working in your establishment.
Are there any questions for Rabbi Lubin? He has to run to another meeting. Then we'll take questions for the other two panelists. Anybody have any questions for Rabbi Lubin on standards? No? Okay, so Rabbi Lubin. Go ahead. Thank you very much. Any questions for Rabbi Schoenfeld? Yeah.
That which was mentioned, that the individual mashgiach, regarding the issue of having an individual mashgiach, now, I mean, I understand it could be that he himself is going to every restaurant, but I would also, at the same time, I can understand it just means that he's the balabas of everything going on, and I'm sure he has guys who would trust him, and so it doesn't necessarily mean that just because it's one guy and he's getting big and big, he's just one guy going to every restaurant. And also regarding the badim, I mean, I understood the ma'isa happened with this individual hashkocha, that there was issues came up, but it was just like there could be a bad which is also has, you know, not every single bad could be on a high level.
Okay, those are two legitimate points. With the let's just differentiate between a Rav HaMachshir and a Mashgiach. So when I'm talking about the private Rav HaMachshir, you're right. So he'll increase his staff of more Mashgichim. But you got to remember, the responsibility for paskening, for setting up the restaurants, for paskening the shilas, for inspecting on his own, even though he's a Rav HaMachshir, he's got a Mashgichim, his responsibility, he's still got to be able to be all around the place, at least on occasion, that all rests with the same one person. So whether he had one restaurant when he started, or he has 12 and six other caterers now that he's grown, he's increased exponentially, and yet he's the same old person. And so that yes, while his staff has increased, but his capacity to be able to handle those shilas remains constant. You're right that what we had with the water fountain really could have had that story with another vod. The fact is, we never did. The only time we had such an experience was with an individual, most vadim, because they have a group that deals with their shilas. This thing just could never happen. It could never happen that you'd have a water fountain. The caterer would never have a havamina of doing such a thing, because it would know it would violate the principles of the vod. Are there weaker vadim? Maybe. So far, I found that the vadim throughout the country, when they're a vad harabanim, usually their standards are really quite high. I haven't seen any real slip ups to my knowledge. Some have higher standards.
One rub is mechazik the other rub.
Exactly. It's one rub is mechazik the other. Now look, in the vad of Queens, we accept stam chalav. Now when we have a caterer. In other words, a store let us sell stam chalav on there. We have a caterer, it's all chalav Yisrael. Now, there may be other vadim that there are only chalav Yisrael or pas Yisrael. So in those areas, you're right that there could be varying standards within vadim. But you're not going to find that people are in violation of something. I haven't seen that in other vadim.
Any other questions, Rabbi Schoenfeld? We have Edus from a participant that Rabbi Schoenfeld is correct. Okay, any questions for our last speaker, Rabbi Lube, Rabbi Eisen?
Rabbi, you told us a story when you went to a local vod and you found the shalakim in the rice cooker. Just wondering, what type of reviews could be set up to ensure that local vod don't have such stories, or you have them excuse them in some out-of-town vod? So is there any system that could be set up to make sure that there is some oversight that such stories don't have?
Theoretically or practically? No. It's a very simple answer. How are you supposed to go into a different community and impose a review? A review, many communities are extremely interested, especially with kashrus being so diversified and the technology of equipment and the diversity of businesses are moving so rapidly that vadim themselves, erlich vadim themselves, that have younger rabbonim that perhaps are coming in with a new, fresh look, and you know, more energy, and the other rabbanim have already been so beleaguered with so many of the other rabbinic responsibilities, and they welcome this new infusion of energy. So when many of these communities, they have self-imposed reviews. Those self-imposed reviews are wonderful, because what happens is that they realize that they are not meeting a certain standard. Rabbi Schoenfeld said that Vadim do know what it's doing, you know, in the other pots. So the Erlich of Vadim realize that, you know what, we are behind times, and we want to review. We want to initiate a review, and they will call people, because there are people in the field that could offer the industry such a review that you're referring to. So the answer is yes. It's practical in the sense, if it wants to be self-imposed, if the community as a community, as I guess the large New York or beyond that community, wants to impose reviews upon others, that will never work.
So in your VOD, let's just say, over here in OU, they recently implemented this new review standard and they start checking out different companies. So do you have such a review procedure in your VOD?
First of all, just a small correction. This is not a new review system. This review system has already been in place for most probably 10 years, a decade at least.
Rabbi Elifet said that when he first came to OU 20 years ago, he was in the review department.
No, but that review department, I think the review department of what? It was just.
That's what he said. I don't know.
But I think Rabbi Safran has been here most probably 10 years. It's about the very active and aggressive mode of review has most probably been around the OU for close to a decade. But as far as a good hashgacha, there's no end. There's ein l'dov asoif. It's dynamic. The food industry is a dynamic industry. It moves. It changes. A good vod will always invite somebody else to come in. I'll give you an example. The best thing that you could do is to bring in a fresh pair of eyes. So for some vodim, they will do that. In other vadim, individuals that perhaps have not gone in, there's certain staff members that have not visited stores or don't visit stores so frequently, that person, that staff member will be invited to go in to visit the stores, and by the virtue of just having a fresh look, those standards are constantly being upgraded. But that's only if a vad has the type of posture that is sort of self-motivated, which I would think that many vadim Bismaneinu are that way, as Rabbi Schoenfeld said. Yes?
In the vod that you're in, how many Rabbanim are involved? And are all the Rabbanim really involved in the kashrus aspect, or is it really just like one or two, and just names?
Okay, that's a very good question.
There's
that's
a difference between your vod and his vod.
Okay. Even though there are differences, we get along tremendously.
I mean, there's a difference in the structure of it. I meant the structure. His is part of the Vada Rabbanim, and yours is
subconscious.
His is part of a Vada Rabbanim, and yours is just the Vada Kashrus. That's
right,
what I'm saying.
Right.
That's a
chiluk. That's a chiluk that Rabbi Schoenfeld very clearly made. But there's one part of your question, because you made several points with your question, which I just want to really emphasize and sort of be very provocative. You said that are the Rabbonim in a community that are, you know, part of this Vada Kashrus, how involved are they? Are they only names? That's a very fair question. And the answer to that question is, this is a common error made by the Hamoinam. People think that if Rabbonim are part of a community, and although their Ritzoy Nefesh is to make sure that their Kashrus, as well as his Erevin, as well as their Mikvois, as well as all the other Mili de Masa, that is Ramya Aleihem, is on the highest standard, the answer is it's very rare that more than a small group of Rabbanim really know what's doing in the stores, unless there is a very defined rotation system, which I believe the Vod of Queens has, a rotation system in which there are several core Rabbanim that alternate in responsibility. At that point of time, there could be an opportunity for the Rabbanim to really understand what's going on in the restaurants, because they become the liaisons. But most communities, it's one or two of the Rabbanim, especially if they have a decent Vada Kashrus and an administrative body. they're so busy with so many other things, they don't know what's going on. And when people say, oh, Rabbi so-and-so is part of the Vod, unfortunately, sometimes they have to say, you know what, but he has never even stepped foot into one kitchen. And although he certainly is erlich, and he's responsive to issues that come his way, and he handles them with the highest level of integrity, it doesn't mean he knows any pratim in reality of what goes on. Because he is involved in meetings, and when issues do come up, he takes responsibility for the issues being presented to him, and the issues, as far as he's concerned, the most important thing that these Rabbonim are involved with is to make sure that there's somebody in a capacity that does run the day-to-day business of the Vod is Erlich. That's what they're really signing off on. They're signing off on this, saying that however their Vod operates, they are signing off and saying they are comfortable with the way that the administrative aspect of the Vod runs. Yes? Rabbi Schoenfeld. Yes.
Okay.
You see, I corrected your name, Rabbi Schoenfeld. Rabbi Schoenberg. Rabbi Schoenfeld. Yes.
We just have time for one more question, and then Rabbi Schoenfeld would like to say a comment because we're running a little late.
Your point is very valid. I must say it's Eisen. And on a practical basis, it's just not possible, and I'll explain to you why. In American law, if you work for an organization, that organization, you work for 40 hours on a regular basis, I'm not an accountant, but I believe that this is the Metzius, the organization is required to pick up all your, to make sure that you have medical insurance, regular insurance, unemployment insurance. There is a whole slew of other costs that come along. Let me give you a dogma. If the OU today would make the Herculean jump, the mammoth jump, of saying they are putting every single mashgiach and every restaurant and catering establishment under their payroll, well, it would cost them another $750,000, not even in salary, just in insurances and in other benefits that they would be required al pi chukei hamedina to give the mashgiachim. Are mashgiachim entitled? It would be even ridiculous to even ask that question. There's no suffix. Mashgiachim, literally the erlich people in the field, give their leiva nefesh for the community. But the metzias is that it's just not. That means that, first of all, in order to pay mashgiachim, they would have to burden the store owners not only with the amount of money per hour that mashgiachim are making, all the benefits would have to go on their shoulders, also a sheared. It would be a very unpractical, it's not a viable option. It's not. There are organizations that we have talked about this and spoken about this. The Kofkein, the OU have been in the forefront pushing this, and it just doesn't work. It just doesn't work because of all the tremendous costs that are involved. So you're right. Subconsciously, as the mashgiach have in mind, it's true. That's why the hashgacha has to come in, and I hate to say it, like a bulldozer, and like sort of impose upon the balabatim that if they even have a havamina of playing with the mashgiachim's money, he'll just close the place down. If they don't get that sense, then the mashgiachim have very little attitude.
Rabbi Schoenfeld.
I know that you're running on a very tight schedule here, so I just want to respond to the question raised about how many Rabbanim are involved. I will speak again for the Vod of Queens. We have about 50, 60 members, and of about, although 50, 60 members, about 25 to 30 come to, we have meetings every month, every 6 weeks in different shuls. But there's a Vod HaKashrus, that's general meetings. There's a Vod HaKashrus, which consists of about 7-8 Rabbanim that meet on a monthly basis or as an ad-needed basis. And these Rabbanim are involved on the actual decisions, Piskei Halacha, policy decisions that are made. And so you have about 7-8 Rabbanim in the community that are very, very much involved on an active basis. The recommendations of the VOD, of the Kashrus Committee, are brought before the entire VOD when it's needed. Sometimes you just don't have to do it, but when it's needed, and it's a policy is voted on. But we definitely have a core group of Rabbanim who we feel have experience in Kashrus and know Halacha that can deal with those issues. So in the VOD of Queens, we do have very active participation in the Rabbanim. Rabbi Eisen mentioned a rotation basis. That is something we try to implement in the VOD. I have to say, to be honest, it's not implemented to the extent that we would like to. It is very hard for a Rabbanim who are very busy, but we do have different mashgichim visiting. In other words, the mashgichim themselves rotate, so you don't become very routined into your restaurant. So you have another set of eyes, your colleague, the mashgiach, who comes in to take a look at your establishment. But as far as the halacha and as far as shilas that come up, in fact, one very high officer in our vod, a very high officer in our vod, took upon himself the paskin. There was a certain issue with a restaurant that was caught with something he should not have had, a meat situation, and that officer decided on his own how to handle it. And he was severely reprimanded, and it cost him his whole prestige in our Vod, because he took that upon himself. He had no business doing so. This is a Vod HaRabbanim, and the executive director does not make the decision. Even the chairman of Kashrus does not make the decision on himself on a critical issue like that. It's got to be dealt with, and we do have this core group of active Rabbanim.
All right, Rav Schoenfeld.